What's going on, good people? My name is Christian, and you are now tuning in to What College Didn't Teach Me, the podcast that shares life lessons from outside the classroom. And today, I bring back my first ever returning guest, Mr. Jonathan Hightower.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Once again.
Glad to have you back, man. Today, we're going to be talking about therapy and struggles, the value of therapy, and the importance of taking care of the struggles that you have going on mental health-wise or physical health-wise that may be affecting your mental health, and how therapy has been impactful for us. So, Jonathan,
yes, sir.
I'll have you start off. So, Jonathan, I know for you, you were actually one of the first people that I knew of that outside of like family, one of my first friends that I knew went to therapy. And I know for you,
really?
it started. Yeah, I didn't know anybody else that went to therapy outside of family members that I have. I didn't know anybody. It wasn't discussed. Like, it was something that was, you know, normal. It kind of seemed like, well, you got to be going to something pretty crazy to need to go to therapy. But in reality, you don't.
Yeah.
But I know, you know, you had gone to therapy once you started graduate school. And I know your first year or so in your PhD program was pretty rough. But would you mind sharing a little bit about, for you, what was going on in your life that led you to go to therapy?
Yeah, so for me, like, I didn't grow up with therapy as an option, and I didn't really know anyone else who had gone through therapy either. And I struggled with depression on and off, like, before, but I didn't really know what to call it. I just thought that I had a bad couple of weeks ever so often, you know, and like, you get over it and things get better over time. And I would say that this is the first time when I did get to grad school that I gave it a couple weeks and it got worse. And I was like, okay, I'm giving it time. I'm going through the normal steps when I'm going through a rough time. I'm like, you know, just taking a break and trying to take it easy and stuff like that. And then, like, it's getting worse, like, because the pressures of graduate school are not the pressures of college, and like, the pressures of college are not the pressures of high school. And so, yeah, it was sort of an on and off thing for me in the past, but this is the first time I kind of couldn't escape it naturally. And so after my first semester, I ended up with a failing GPA, basically, and I needed a 3.0. I forget exactly what it was, but it was like 2.5, something like that. And I had only taken like two classes. That means I got like a C+ and something and a B something and something else. And I was just like, wow. So it wasn't also the same grad school I went to as my undergrad. So I had moved from a different city. I moved away from my family to Ohio, and I've been on my own. I've had to pay rent for my first time by myself and sort of make my own way in this new place. And then I after my first semester, I was like, wow. So I moved all the way out here, signed a year-long lease and and everything, and now I'm gonna have to go back almost immediately as I got here. And so that's sort of like, I came here not expecting it, and I had a rough couple months. And then the future of that was like, I'm just gonna like bury my head deeper into my books and really work to get my GPA up, because I like have this vision of my life that I want to fulfill. And like, people tell you, just like work harder, or even like work smarter but not harder, and just work will get you to where you want to go. And long story short, after the second semester, where I had an opportunity to pull it up above a 3.0, it got to like a 2.7. and after another two classes of the core curriculum, I was just like, wow, okay, so this is it. I tried my best and I gave it my best shot, and here we are. But during that time, my professors had like noticed some things, and one of them that kind of came up to me and was like, hey, like, I know that like, you obviously like earned your spot to like be here in graduate school. Like, just, you know, tell me anything that's going on. And like I literally like broke down in his office unexpectedly, like in tears.
Yeah.
I was just like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, this is going on. This is crazy and everything else. And I was like, I don't know what it is. And the thing that I'm grateful for isn't like that, like the academic staff and people were just like, oh, he failed, get him out of here. It was like, let's get him seen by somebody or recommend him to mental health services just to see. And so they evaluate you and maybe you get like 5 free sessions after that. But I did the first session and they went through their questions and was like, hey, so upon like our evaluation, like we want to, you know, suggest you talk to these further mental health services because like it may be anxiety mixed with depression and like some like test anxiety as well. And this is the first time being bombarded with those sort of terms. And I was like, do I have depression? Like, am I able to have depression? And
yep, I asked like, the same question.
Yeah, I was like, this isn't something that, again, like I'm used to maybe bad days or at most bad couple of weeks of just feeling off, but not like, like at this time I had been at school for like 8 months or so. So it was like, okay, obviously it's not just a bad day or anything like that. Like something deeper is going on. Mm-hmm. And like studying harder isn't solving it. And so I got referred to a therapist and I started seeing through the school a counselor who sort of talked about the different procedures for like if you are struggling with depression, like you're able to like in like didn't know about it, like got diagnosed with it during the semester and stuff. There's something with like the protocols where you still get another shot basically to up your grades. And so I started going to therapy at that time pretty regularly over the summer. And after I guess my free sessions were used up, I was able to start seeing another therapist that was outside of the school network. And we talked about like non-academic related things that might be affecting my academic performance. And she started going through things like imposter syndrome. And so in my program, like I was the only African-American in my pretty much, I think it was like me at that time, it was me and maybe 2 other people in the whole PhD program. And like in my specific cohort, I was the only one. And so we even talked about things like that as it relates to like feeling isolated and it being your first time away from family, friends, like a church network or anything. I was just like going to school, to my apartment, to school again, without seeing a lot of people outside of those 2 realms. And so yeah, we talked about things like that. And that was sort of like my first introduction to therapy and counseling and things like that.
Wow. Yeah, that's quite the introduction, man. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to get more and more into that a little bit later. But for me, on my side, I started going to therapy maybe, when was it? I think my first session was mid-November of this past year. For me, I started noticing, you know, I was not really taking care of myself. And I tend to not, I don't think I'm the best at taking care of myself. But I was noticing some more of the collateral damage I was doing to myself just due to, you know, me focusing either on work or focusing on doing things that, you know, I enjoy, like, you know, like the podcast and just doing things outside of actually doing things that were restful for me, because I wasn't really, I don't know, I just had a tendency ever since I started having different health issues to just neglect whenever my body is saying there's something wrong or you need to take care of this, because I just learned to kind of ignore that voice in my head or ignore like my body if it's saying like, yo, there's something wrong. I'm just like, you know what, I got something I got to do. So like I'll take care of it later, don't worry. But sometimes you need to worry, because for me, I got to a point where I was just like every day I was just kind of like sad, and you know, in my mind I wasn't really thinking like very happy thoughts. Not saying I was just like thinking like super sad thoughts, but it wasn't really a lot of positivity at a certain point. And so I just kept like, even if something was like little and it was negative, it was getting to me like really bad. And also I've recently started getting crazy like cystic acne, and having issues with my seborrheic dermatitis in the past, it kind of just brought back that like 13-year-old boy who always got upset when he looked himself in the mirror and thought he like looked disgusting. And it just always made me kind of like sad to go somewhere. I mean, I obviously feel a little more secure with the mask, having to wear a mask, but still just knowing like, man, I still got all these problems. Like, it was just something that really just hurt me. And having to deal with that, it was just tough. And it just all felt like a lot. And I just felt like I was going down like a downward spiral real fast. And I was like, you know what? I think I need to go see somebody. And so, you know, I did some research on a couple therapists in the area. And I found this one therapist. She's a 50-something-year-old Jamaican woman that also lives in my area. And she's been very helpful. I feel a lot more in control of my life. Because I think the other thing, too, is, well, I don't know about you, but I just felt like things were so far out of my control, and things were happening outside of a manageable area where I could get a grip on things. It just felt so crazy. And so that also made me want to neglect things. Like, I still remember I had dishes in the sink for like a week, and it was like every day. In my mind, I kept saying, you know, I'm cleaning these dishes. And I remember there was one night, and for 3 hours, I sat on the couch just like on my phone, didn't clean the dishes. And I went to bed early at like 8:30. And it wasn't because I was like tired or anything, but I just felt so much guilt and shame from not cleaning the dishes. I just wanted to ignore it. And, you know, it also brings back the whole habit of neglect and taking care of things for myself. But yeah, man, that's really my journey to seeing a therapist. And I think, you know, for me, at first I was like, man, I'm not the type of person that should be going to therapy, you know? I'm not like losing my mind or nothing super crazy is going on. So why should I go to therapy?
Yeah.
But it's like, even if you're not losing your mind or something extremely terrible, like hasn't happened to you, that doesn't mean that you still can't benefit from therapy. And so, Jonathan, I'm curious for you, when did you feel okay, like for me, this is the right time to go to therapy? Because I think sometimes people don't know because they think like, oh, I'm not far off enough. Like, I haven't like gotten to a ledge that I'm about to fall, like jump off of. Like, I don't need therapy yet. But when I get there, you know, I may need to find a therapist. But like for you, when did you know like, hey, I need to go find a therapist?
So I don't know if I came to that conclusion. I just knew that I needed help with something that I didn't understand. And so it wasn't like a point where I was like, okay, I need a therapist. I was like, there's something going on, and it's not physical per se. It's not even spiritual or anything like that. It's like literally like, I don't know like how you felt in that kind of state. But for me, it was just like a heaviness that wouldn't go away. And I started having irregular eating habits, regular sleeping, and like I would be late to class, like not even like, oh, okay, like I'm on my way late. Like I would just miss classes completely sometimes and like not have an excuse. I was just like, I can't do it today. Like I just can't. And that made me even more frustrated because I was like, there's no physical reason why I can't get up and go to class. Like my legs work. But for some reason, like the thought of that, it would just seem like so detrimental if I did do it. And there were times where earlier on I could push through and get there, but then I like wouldn't know what was going on because I wasn't keeping up with the material, and that would make me feel worse. And then the next time I was like, okay, I'm definitely not going this time, and feeling like that again. And I don't know, it was just like a loss of, before I was like, okay, if I just study more, it turned into like, I can't see my way out of this one. And that's when someone suggested, like, maybe you should look at, you know, these services that are available to students. Like, again, not as like a cure, but just like as a jumpstart to like what could be going on. From there, I think I was like, okay, since I've been having these symptoms and they're telling me that it could be depression, at that point, I was like, okay, maybe I should look into more of the mental health aspect of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. What you said about skipping class and just not even, you know, being late, meaning just didn't even go. And then when you did go, you felt bad. I don't remember if I've told this story already. I probably did. But the I think I've told you this story, but physics two or physics one freshman year, there was a period of time where I skipped that class for like 3 weeks straight. And it was because of I didn't know what was going on. And after the first time I skipped, I was like, you know, I'll go to the next one. But then before, right before the next class, I was like, I already skipped. I feel embarrassed. I feel shame. I'm not going to go because the professor's going to look at me, or I'm just going to feel some type of way because I didn't go. Yeah. And then it just turned into this repetitive cycle. And then you feel hopeless. And then you feel all the shame and this guilt. And that's what happened to me, what I was saying earlier with the dishwashing. Like, it was dishes kept piling up and I just kept feeling bad and, you know, shame and guilt, because I was like, I should just wash these. But for me, it was just like, I don't even want to look at it. I didn't even want to face the sink. I just wanted to face, like, you know, my sink is opposite of where my stove and my oven is. And I was like, yeah, no, I don't even want to face the sink. But yeah, stuff like that, it's very traumatic for people. And I know I was talking to somebody and they were like, you're having trouble with doing something as simple as washing your dishes? And I was like, yes, I am. yes, indeed I am. And, you know, just because you being on the outside of seeing something that is a simple task, to you, you don't see what's associated to that task to me. Like, for, you know, other students that may have been in the same class as you, like, for them, there may not be this pressure on them to succeed at a high level, because they already have people that look like them that have succeeded. And you being somebody, let's say that, you know, you're one of the few African Americans in your classes, and at that time you may not have thought, like, yo, I can do this, or you may not have felt supported, or whatever what the case may have been. You know, you may have felt stressed. You know, that there's a lot of different factors, and it's like, just because, like, there's different people running the same race, you don't know who has a boulder, you know, attached to their ankle. Like, you don't know what's weighing them down. You don't know what's holding somebody back. So don't look at what we all have to do and think that the circumstances are the same, because they're not. Yeah, no. So that's good. I think for me, like, I knew that it was the right time for me to go to therapy when I was asking, like, yo, should I go to therapy? Am I bad enough, is what I thought. But, you know, even when you get to that point, it's just like understanding, like, yo, you don't need to be this broke down, worked down person that's crying on the floor to be eligible to go to therapy. Like, there are a lot of people who are, you know, doing seemingly fine, who go to therapy to, you know, just to talk things out. Even if you don't have something that is super tumultuous happening in your life, just providing some sense of clarity can really assist you. I know for me, the things in my life that were going on, they weren't terrible, but I knew, like, I'm very self-aware about the problems that were going on, but I just couldn't find my way to do the actions that I needed to do to help solve the problems. I just couldn't do it. And so I'm like, you know, I need an outside voice. I need somebody's help to help guide me. And I know I was talking to somebody when I was first starting to look into therapy, and they were like, you know, I think that whatever it is that's going on with you, you can figure it out yourself. And I'm like, okay, you're probably right. But here's the thing, when it comes to life, a lot of the problems that we have, we can solve. We can be the ones that provides the solution or does the thing that fixes the problem. But sometimes you have to go to somebody to get that insight to know what the problem is. You got to go to somebody to get the insight to know how to fix it. There's a reason that we go to the doctor once a year. Like, we go to the doctor to see, like, yo, like, am I good? You know, do I have anything going on with me? You know, it's like, you can eat good, you can do all these different things, but if you find out one day that you got diagnosed with a disease, it's like, okay, I need to figure out what I need to do to take care of that. Like, talk to your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
They'll help you. They'll guide you. And you're the one that's going to be doing the things that is going to, you know, help you to take care of that. But you need assistance. You know, you need that guidance. You need someone who's going to help you get to ultimately where you want to be. So, yeah, even though I'm capable of doing what it is I need to do to take care of myself, we all can use some guidance and we all can use some help along the way. So, yeah, never minimizing that ability to get help is also very important.
Yeah, for sure.
So when you started, I guess you went to therapy. How long did you go to therapy?
That was in 2018. Okay. And like, I guess like with a regular doctor, like they would just prescribe you something and you take it and you get better. But with this, it was more so like giving me strategies to help cope with it. It wasn't, I think initially, after my initial evaluation, medicine was talked about or considered as an option. Whereas like, I think it's basically dopamine pills to help like a chemical imbalance. There's like pictures that you could look up that's like, this is your regular brain and this is like your brain when you're depressed. And like, there's literally like a chemical thing to it. But she said that, like, well, before we just, you know, immediately go that route, like, let's see, your body is actually capable of like naturally producing what's in the pills though. So like, if you get more exercise and like do things that are more enjoyable for you, that can almost like help to naturally reset your brain to like be open to the strategies that she was suggesting. So it was like a two-pronged approach, to where it's like not just get some more exercise because like, okay, well, there's some days I can't get out of bed, you know, but yeah, like also like once you are able to sort of, you know, even if it's like 10 jumping jacks in your room for like 2 minutes or something like that, then when you hit rock bottom, like that gives you like a jump start to be able to do other things. And so one of the strategies also that we talked about was like the type of thoughts you think, like, why do you think that because you failed before, like you'll fail again? That's literally like, you have a 50-50 chance each time. Like, it doesn't mean that you failed one time. You're going to, you know, since I failed grad school, I'm going to fail this and then I'm going to get a job and get fired from that and I'll never be married. And like, it's almost like a string of thoughts that I attach this one problem to. And once you sort of detangle that from like, you know, if I fail at this, I can succeed not only at this thing if I try again, but at other things. Like, I'm successful at music and all these other endeavors and being a good son and boyfriend and things like that. Like, there's a ton of other things that I am a success at. And just because it's not going well in a very important area of my life, then that doesn't mean that I'm a failure in other ways. And so that was part of it. And so the mix of like, you know, just practical things like getting up and establishing a routine and a schedule and getting outside and experiencing nature and then playing basketball and, you know, maybe going to the gym and lifting some weights and going on the treadmill, like just like practical things that like give your body like natural dopamine in conjunction with like the thinking and mental strategies. Like when you find yourself in that spiral, being like, wait, I don't have to continue thinking this way. I can literally just choose to think differently. And in the Bible, even it talks about like think on those things which are like pure and lovely, and don't dwell on what went wrong. Dwell on all the things that have gone right, like could go right, what your life could be, even if you fail this thing. Like, it's like a change of thought that has to happen. And the both of those things are what really started to like put me on the right trajectory.
Wow, Jonathan. Yeah, what you just said, like, man, that's crazy. Because for me, since I've been going to therapy, my biggest thing that I've realized about myself is that I am always somewhere that I'm not, meaning that I am always thinking about what I want the future to look like, and also looking back in my past of thinking of things I should have done, and just really never being in my present. And so for me, I, you know, like I was saying before, like I like to neglect, not like, it's just become a part of what I've done. It's just become habitual.
Yeah.
It's just, I have a tendency to neglect my own needs. And so one thing that my therapist has been teaching me, I do this thing where, well, one, I try to find something every day that I can savor in. And two, I do this thing called three good things, where I write down three good things every day that's happened in my day. And so, you know, like you were saying before about the momentum of, you know, you seeing, thinking of, you know, bad things. And then when you start thinking about the good things and start thinking about like, yo, like I'm a good boyfriend, I'm a good student, like where I've done good in the past, I can do good in the future. Like mm-hmm. seeing those things, it can help guide you to where you want to go. So for me, before I started seeing my therapist, like I was saying, I was going through a downward spiral. Like, I wasn't really having a lot of, you know, positive thoughts per se. But ever since I've been doing my three good things, I'm looking for the things that I'm grateful for. Like, I'm looking for the things that I'm thankful for. I'm looking for the good things that have happened in my day. And I think when you're not intentionally looking for those things, it can be easy to see the bad things. So I think we give so much more attention to the bad rather than the good. And you think about the news, like how often in the news, like you may have 2 minutes where they talk about a good thing being done in the community or a good thing happening in the world, but for the rest of it, it's all about the negative things going on. You know, and right now the coronavirus, you're seeing death tolls, you're seeing case counts, you're seeing like all these things related to that. And so it's like constant things that are causing people to be fearful or causing people to be afraid, and, you know, just seeing something that's very disheartening, right? But if you're looking for things that you value or things that, you know, you're really grateful for, it can really change your whole mindset. And I think that's been the biggest thing for me that therapy has helped me with. It's helped change my mindset to one that's I'm a lot more grateful, and I'm a lot more intentional about looking for the good. I'm a lot more intentional about appreciating the things that I have. Cause I remember I was talking to somebody, and I went into work and I said, man, today's gonna be a great day. And they were like, why you say that? And I said, you know, I woke up this morning. And they were like, huh? And I'm just like, yo, it's so funny how like people assume that we just wake up by like osmosis. Like, there are plenty of people who on this very day did not have the opportunity to wake up this morning to see today. Like, there's so many people that didn't have that opportunity. And so when you go to sleep, it's really like a blessing that you're able to wake up. And to, you know, to take that for granted, it's such a crazy thing, because, you know, like, yeah, it may have been something that has happened to you since you were born, but it doesn't mean that promise tomorrow. It doesn't mean that it's something that's a given. And it's something that, you know, should look at and be like, wow, I'm really grateful for that, amongst other things.
Yeah, for sure.
So for you, when you started having the issues with school and with the classes, did you reach out to anybody? Like, I know we didn't talk about this until after things were already like resolved, but did you talk with like your parents? You talked to Brittany? Like, Did you talk to anybody about the issues that you were having before you got to the point where you were breaking down in a professor's office?
Yeah, me and Brittany talked almost, not every day, but pretty often. And at that time, I was calling my parents maybe like every 2 days or so, just giving them like updates and just seeing like how to navigate. Because after my first semester, I was like, hey, it seems like I might be coming back home. So I think you all should be informed. And yeah, so we just talked about that and like the best options to go forward. And yeah, I didn't really know what it was. So I was just like, I'm not going to react kind of too crazy about it. I'm just going to, like, this semester, I'm going to hit it so hard that I'll just brute force my way in to move up in grad school. And then I got smacked again with the no, you don't. And I was like, oh, okay. Maybe that wasn't the right approach either. So yeah, I waited a while to tell like a lot of people, because I was really just like bunkering down and like, no, I can handle it, but I couldn't. And then that's when I was like, oh, okay. Well, guys, this is what happened. And yeah.
Yeah. No, I feel you. I still remember when you first told me, I was like, what? I was like, what you mean you was going to therapy? And not like in shock of like, why were you going to therapy? But I just felt like concerned, because I was like, dang, like maybe I should have reached out to my boy a little bit more and seen what was going on. Because I knew that first year of grad school, the transition's crazy. And I think I was in my last year of undergrad. So I was like, last year undergrad for me was a whirlwind. But yeah, I knew for you, you were also going through some crazy times. So I didn't really want to, you know, bother you too much. But
No, it was sort of like, I thought about it afterwards. But I was like, I really, like, part of the reason we talked about other stuff, but part of the reason that never really came up, because I didn't really view it as an issue at that point in time. I was just like, nah, I'm just, you know, not doing too well. My first semester didn't go well, but this one I plan on doing better. And so it wasn't like I am dealing with depression at this point in time. It was more so like, I know what I need to do. And I didn't really view myself as going through anything. It's kind of interesting. But again, it's not until afterwards that I was like, why is everything that I'm doing not working out? And mixed in with like the other, like, I'm not taking as good of care of myself as I once was, and a little bit of other things were irregular. I was like, wait a second. Like, could this be anything else? And when I started asking that question was when I was like, oh, okay. Like, this is kind of what's going on. But before, I really didn't even, and I think that's where it kind of gets into, like, I would see memes where they like maybe post a picture of like a celebrity that suffered from depression, but like smiled a lot. And, you know, like basically comedians and stuff like that. Like, you never really know what someone is going through or something like that. Because like, literally, if you ask someone, they might be able to articulate, oh yeah, this is what I'm dealing with and going through, and these are my issues, I've labeled them and stuff like that. But a lot of times it's just like an unspoken, like, I don't really know what's going on. And when I'm around other people, it's kind of, you know, subsided. And so like, if you ask me how I'm doing, like, oh yeah, I'm fine. But like, you know, when you sort of, you know, are laying in your bed, it's just like all those thoughts sort of resurface and you're sort of left alone. It's like, ah, there it goes. Like, there's all the stuff. But yeah, it's like, it's hard to reach out if you don't really know what's going on with you. But yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, that's big facts. I feel like for me, it was weird because I feel like I'm a very self-aware person. And what was going on with me, it was just, I just kept repeating the same things and I couldn't get out of this cycle of I'm continuously doing the things that are bad for me and putting me in these positions where I'm like not happy or I'm just like struggling. And I just didn't know why. Like, for me, I was just, it just kept happening, and I'm like, what the freak? And so, and I just felt powerless against it. And, you know, I was talking to people and I was reaching out to people. And I think a day where I was like, yo, like, I really need to take care of this was I started crying for no reason. And not to say it was for no reason. There was obviously a reason, but I wasn't prompted. Like, there was nothing that happened in the moment that prompted me to cry. It was just, I just felt like tears wanted to come out my eyes. And it was like, I just got back from work. I was just finishing eating dinner. And like, I just felt like I needed to cry. And I never really felt that way before. And I was like, I don't think it's the food. And I was reaching out to people. I'm like, yo, like, why do I feel this urge to cry for no reason? And, you know, they were telling me, you probably got some like pent up stress or anxiety. And I'm like, that sounds about right. So yeah, for me, it was like, I was talking to people and I was, you know, expressing it, but when you're doing the same things, you're going to get the same results. So, you know, I just had these expectations of like, yo, if I express it, then, you know, it'll help me get things off my chest and all that. But it's like, I still had the bad coping mechanisms or just lack of coping mechanisms, and I wasn't taking care of my actual problems. So once I identified that, and, you know, once I started crying out of the random, I was just like, you know what? I need to see somebody to help me, like, figure out what I can do to help myself. So, yeah.
That's real.
But yeah, so, you know, we talked a lot about our experiences with therapy, but what would you say to, what would you recommend to somebody out there listening who thinks they may need to go to therapy, but they haven't taken that step to do it?
Like, they think they need to go, but
like, let's say,
are just hesitant.
Like, yeah, they're hesitant. Yeah, they're hesitant to go. What insight would you give them to help them make the best decision for themselves?
Yeah, so for me, I, like I said, it was not nerve-wracking at that point, because at that point, I just felt numb. I think another misconception about like depression and things like that is like, you're sad all the time. But a lot of times for me, it wasn't that I was sad. I was just like, I had no emotion whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So I was just like numb to everything. Like, if you told me I want $1 million, I'd be like, cool. And if you told me like someone died, I'd be like, oh, okay. Like, I felt no happiness or sadness. It was kind of weird. But I think, so when I had to go to therapy, it wasn't like I was nervous or like excited about it. I was just like, okay, I'm going. And they did have, you know, that in the movies where people are lying on the couch. Like, they did have that in the office. I don't know if it was the same for you. Like, I didn't lie down on it, but it was there. And like a box of tissues on the table just in case, I guess. And yeah, it just started off with like questions like, hey, like, how are you doing? And how was your day? And, you know, what are some of the things that you like to do and stuff like that? So I think also it was a good, for me, it was also important to find the right person, because the first person, like I said, was through the school, and, you know, they were cool. But when it got into the deeper issues where it wasn't like academic stuff per se, or when it came to like the racial experiences, like it was a white man. So I was like, I can't really, like, he didn't bring that up as a possibility. And it wasn't until I started going to a Black woman therapist that that came up as a thing too, that we dealt with. So going to the right therapist matters to form that sort of relationship and to talk about things that, you know, aren't surface level. So that was helpful, but it was more so just like a thing, you know, that especially I think at that time I had seen things, I don't know why it was, but it was like a big movement where it's like, it's okay to talk to your therapist, and like, you can have Jesus and therapy too. And like, I don't know, around about that time, it was like a very, not a revolution in that sort of thinking, but I guess people were kind of fed up with like sort of sweeping issues under the rug. So it's a big wave of that too. I'm not exactly sure why, but that helped me to be able to, you know, become a little bit more public, like with my struggles. Like it wasn't like a private, like no one knows my struggles or what I'm going through, but it was like, no, like this is what I'm going through. And like, literally there's a whole group of people that are like, me too, basically. And like, I experienced the same thing, not only like in life, but like specifically as it relates to grad school as well. Like the stress is like entirely way too much. Like, especially your first couple of years are almost worse than, you know, whether you've been in grad school for like 4 or 5. Like, 'cause again, it's that transition period. Whenever you're going through like a major life change without that much support, or like basically a total upheaval of like what's familiar, like friendships, like even in like Pittsburgh and stuff, like I had family and friends there that I came with like from Maryland. And like, again, like we immediately found each other too, like through the summer engineering program, through Pitt Excel. And so like, even that was like a major aid in the transition. But like, imagine like just moving to a different state, not knowing anyone, and like going back and forth, you know, just I go to class, I go home, I go to class, I go home. It's like anyone's likely to kind of go crazy just going through that routine. If it's like, especially like when there's so many other parts to like who you are, like you're not just someone who studies and takes exams and writes papers and goes to bed, you know, and just nourishes themselves to an adequate amount. You're like, no, like you're a whole person who, like, you know, if you're spiritual, like there should be like a church community, like you find yourself in. If you like playing basketball, there should be like a group of people that you could just, like you would benefit from having a group of people that meets up regularly just to go shoot around, you know, just finding like common interests. And even when it comes to like video games, like my parents will always tell me like, get off them video games and stuff like that. But like my therapist was like, literally, like you kind of need like just a moment to like, you're not worried about life or school or work or whatever. Like you just literally get on a game and you try to win a level or something like that. Like it's just turns your brain off from that, like those stress causing things. And it, even that gives you like moments to like just detach and de-stress and recalibrate, not forming like an addiction from it, but just like an hour or two just to like turn your brain off. Is like, that's what people do through a lot of other activities. And the key is to like do it in healthy ways and like not through like drugs and stuff like that, or like just, you know, naturally occurring things. But yeah.
Yeah, that's good. And the one thing that you said about understanding that you're a whole person, I think, like for me, I got to the point where I became like really good about neglecting my, you know, different areas of my life was because of, you know, I guess survival, either survival or just obligation of I have other things I need to take care of. You know, like I remember when we were in college, I sprained my ankle like really badly my freshman year, and mm-hmm. I didn't start seeing a physical therapist for that. Like this happened October 2013. I didn't start seeing a physical therapist for that until like the summer of 2014, just because I'm like, yo, I got a messed up ankle. That's fine.
That was 7 years ago?
Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, that was our freshman year. But yeah, it was just a couple of days before my birthday, you know, that happened. And yeah, your boy was on the crutches and my ankle looked like a football. And so, yeah, but I was like, yo, I got classes to do. I got school. Like, I can't worry about physical therapy. Like, I can't worry about that, you know? And then when you know, like for you, you probably are like, I got this work I got to do. Like, I need to get these A's and a B is like a C at best. Like, I have to perform at a high level, because if not, then I'm gonna get kicked out of the PhD program. If I get kicked out, it's like, yo, like I'm gonna disappoint all these people. And you know, you have these expectations of yourself. And for me, I also had like the, yo, if I get below a 3.0, I'm losing my scholarship. I'm gonna have to go back home, disappoint my parents, and you know, it just became this whole like cycle of all these expectations, and then you just focus on the things that like you're expected to do well, and then you kind of allow the other parts of you to be sacrificed. If you're not good at already taking care of them, you're just like, all right, I'm just gonna have to sacrifice you for now. But when you sacrifice yourself for too long, then you start to lose parts of yourself. And I think it's important to make sure that you are taking care of the various aspects of yourself, because if not, then you're not truly taking care of yourself. And it's good to say, I did great in school, or I did great at work, but you know, what are you doing at home? If you have a family, are you taking care of your kids? You know, or if you're just in college and you're just, you know, a student, you know, are you eating right? Are you working out? Like, you know, there's got to be a balance. You know, are you finding time to relax? Because I remember the word like relaxed and rest, those felt like, those were like cuss words. I was like, I can't say that. like I need to be on the grind, you know?
Yeah.
But the grind hurts you if that's all you do, right? It hurts you. And so being able to take that time to really just be like, all right, I need to take a step back, take care of myself, and figure out what I need outside of this performative aspect. Because I think a lot of times, especially like in America, a lot of things we think of in terms of we have to perform at a certain level, or we're expected to do these certain things, and we never allow ourselves to rest or be happy because we're like, no, I need to work towards this. And then you also get to the point where you're outside of yourself and you're outside of the present moment. And then because of that, it's just like you're everywhere. Like I was saying with my problem, I'm everywhere that I'm not, you know, I'm never where my feet are at. And that's something I'm glad I'm able to work on now more, just being able to be where my feet are at.
Yeah. And like, even like what you were saying is like one of our sessions was literally creating a schedule. It was like I pulled out my schedule and it was like, okay, homework assignment due, this paper due, this, that, and the second and the third, you know, all this due. Is like, where do you, like she asked me, like, where do you sleep? Like, where's your, like, when do you eat? Like, you did not schedule in lunch. And so that's why you're missing it, because you'll work from like 10 to 2 and miss lunch. And now it's time for your other class. And so now you're not eating till like 7 o'clock or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you eat one time in the morning and one time at night. And, you know, you're not setting yourself, you're not giving yourself, you know, time to like cook meals or anything like that. So the most you're going to eat is like something from Wendy's or McDonald's.
Yeah, you got to be on that like, Big Mac diet.
Yeah, it's just like that's also helps in like that spiral and stuff. It's like you're not eating healthily. When you do eat, you know, it's not the greatest stuff. And it's also far and in between when you do. And so like when I talk about like the chemical part, like of it, half of that too was like just scheduling in grocery shopping, scheduling in, like, I'm going to set aside this time to cook. I'm going to set aside this time to listen to music and not listen to music while I'm studying, like just listen to music and maybe have like a cup of tea or coffee or something like that. And it sounds dumb like to just be like, okay, it's my coffee time. like it sounds good. Crazy, but like if you don't schedule it in when you're that busy or at that high of a stress level, like again, when you're not at that high of a stress level or just, you know, your classes are easy, it's fine. Like you don't necessarily need a schedule, although things could get to that point. But it's when you do enter into a higher level, a higher space where you're like, okay, if I don't change, these habits are going to literally be the death of me. Like that's when it's like, okay, coffee time. And like, I have to schedule time to read my Bible and, you know, do all these other things and meet up with this person and just, you know, talk about life. Like I have to schedule in those things and schedule in relaxing and scheduling going to a movie. And, you know, I think at that time, like Marvel movies were coming out to theater. So I was like, okay, May so-and-so, you're not going to find me on this day. Because this is when it's coming to, I forget what movie it was. It was so many of them. But I was like, you won't find me on this day. Like Saturday is like, I might give you 2 hours, but Saturdays, I'm not doing nothing. So yeah, it was like scheduling and those things also that helped out a lot.
That's good, man. Look at you. And now you only, what is it, a couple years away from your PhD?
Supposed to be 2022. We will see.
Hey, either yeah. way, hey, you're closer to a doctorate than I ever was. So look at you, man.
Oh, my God.
Nah, that's good. But yeah, to follow up on my question, I would say, yeah, for people who are in between or who have the idea of potentially seeing a therapist, but you're like a little hesitant to, I definitely say, you know, the same things Jonathan said, look for a therapist that you think that you could relate to. You don't have to go to a therapist for, let's say you're not like locked in to go for like a year or a certain amount of time. Like I've done like bi-weekly sessions so far, and those have been really good for me. I know my therapist also said if you need to do monthly, you can. Like, it doesn't need to be a thing where you got to go super frequently. And it's for me, it's just been really good to just allow my thoughts to go to a professional and then get their feedback on it. Because I've been able to talk to friends and family about the things that have been going on. But when you have someone who has 20 plus years of experience helping people who are going through some mental health issues, there's a different level of, you know, strategy that they can give you. And there's also nothing wrong with going to a therapist if you think that may make you feel, you know, weak, or you think that it may, you know, it may make you feel like there's something wrong with you. You know, there are plenty of people probably in your sphere of influence who may be going to see a therapist. There have been a couple people that I've talked to that I had no idea have been to a therapist, and they're telling me, yeah, I've been going to therapist for a couple years. I'm like, what? And you never talked about this? And I think that's also an important thing, like being able to openly talk about something like this with your friends and your family, because I think in certain communities, it's a very taboo thing to talk about mental health and talk about therapy. But the more that we make it something that can be discussed and can be talked about, and the more we're transparent about it, the more that we're able to help other people that may need it. So yeah, I definitely encourage anyone, if it's something that you are thinking about doing, definitely look into it, and, you know, maybe schedule one appointment if it's something that you think you can need. But yeah, so yeah, this has been awesome. This has been a really dope conversation. Jonathan,
indeed.
Thank you very much for dropping your wisdom, as always. Do you have anything else that you want to drop on the beautiful people listening out there?
Yeah. You y'all go out and get that therapy. Y'all go out and get that therapy now if you need it. Now go ahead and do that.
Awesome. Wise words. Wise words from a soon-to-be doctor. Well, awesome. Well, Jonathan, thank you again. And for everyone out there listening, please subscribe to the podcast or whatever platform you're listening on, and share the episode with someone you think could benefit from it. All right. I'll talk to y'all soon. Stay real, stay ready, and stay tuned.
Oh, my God.